atmosphere, which can help our practice to be more focused and concentrated. That is why we, especially before sunrise, when you can start your practice there, you have a very good start. Other ideal conditions you can think of, Badahari.
Can it be too early?
I'm sorry, please?
Can it be too early?
The story of Nanda Maharaj. Yes, there is a story in the Krishna book that he started too early with his practice of bathing and was stolen. There is a saying of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there are really no hard and fast rules governing the chanting. At the same time, you must be very careful that you are not too tired, or you are wired, too wired. You know, when you can't sleep, and you are so tense and so on, then, but you can practically, that's so nice about the chanting, Badahari Prabhu. There are really no very forbidden times for chanting. And you must agree that chanting is so wonderful, it is so portable. You can bring it in every life situation. You don't need much. You even, it's nice to always have the beat back there, but you can theoretically chant without the beat back even. It's the most portable spur to practice. Life becomes so simple if you can just dedicate yourself to the chanting. Ideal.
I read that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji recommended the best time to chant japa was between 4 and 7 in the morning and between 7 and 11 p.m.
Oh, nice. You are sure about this? So
I read it.
Wonderful. 4 and 7 in the morning. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And, please?
7 and 11 p.m.
I know that many who have Nam Nishta chant in that p.m. Mm-hmm. Please, these are very good things, you know. We try to enter. Other ideal circumstances, please.
Cleanliness.
Why is that? When you are clean, the tamagun is not so strong. Don't we all know this when sometimes we start our chanting practice when we are just coming from bed? Maybe the bathroom is occupied, or we think if I now take a bath, then I'm already finished after the bath. So we start. But really, after cleansing, it's very good. Cleanliness is very good. What other circumstances? Ratnavali.
Rangavati,
yes.
The
good place. In place, you really look for a quiet place, and here comes it. But those who know about chanting say, it's good if you always sit on your same place, facing the same direction, because by that chanting, you create a spiritual atmosphere. You know, so if you're always there, it's called in Sanskrit, baitak, the sitting place. Sadhus always sit at the same place, and no one is allowed to take that place. They have to sit there. You will see when you saw Srila Prabhupada, and that's what I read from Hari Suri Prabhu, he always would have his place where he would eat, where he would do his translation work. I'm speaking of the Mumbai temple. He would be very systemized because it's known. These are common knowledges which we gross Westerners don't know, but it creates energy fields if you so want, or fields of concentration. Prabhupada would very much say, talk about time, then freeing from yourself from offenses. That was a very, very important teaching which he would give. Other ideal situations is the pronunciation. We had that. Pronounce. And it's clear, we have in ISKCON these jokes, schnick-schnack, schnick-schnack, what Prabhupada says, hissing sound, huh? That is not good.
Chanting for other deities, so for
the... Yeah, the place. I want to make here a strong, 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 strong point, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He says, as you chant, and you come to a more advanced level, your mind should seek out the form of the Lord. But if you are not, if this is not your level or your adhikar, then he says the same thing can be obtained by sitting in front of the deities and chanting. Because as you chant and you have your eyes fixed on the form of the Lord, that form enters the heart. Place means deities. Then, Tulasi. Prabhupada writes in several places in his books, especially in relationship to Haridas Thakur, that when one sits before Tulasi, why is this? The reason is that bhakti can only be received from a bhakta. The bhakti is in the heart of the pure devotee, and it is said there are three repositories of bhakti. One is the Bhagavatam, the book, and then you find bhakti in Tulasi Devi, in Ganga Devi, and in the hearts of the devotees. Oh, Krishna. These are three powerful devotees. Tulasi Devi, Ganga Devi, and the heart of the pure devotees. This is Tulasi, Ganga. Has anyone chanted at the banks of Mother Ganga? Have you noticed? What an atmosphere. Anyone who wishes to have a chanting reform, Tulasi, Ganga, and the pure devotee person, many devotees have found out that it helps them very much to have in the background a little bit the chanting of Srila Prabhupada. I'm saying a little bit to indicate that the sound of Prabhupada's voice should not drown out our own hearing. Mm-hmm. Pure devotee. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you want to have the best of Krishna's devotees, who is available on this planet, waiting for you, go to Giriraj. Come to the Giriraj, to the Govardhan retreat. Girirajya. Oh, then your life will start. Very, very powerful. He gives bhakti like anything. You will know. If you sit one, we have this retreat, this Govardhan retreat, and we sit in a sacred valley nearby Giriraj under a tree, and Burijan Prabhu just talks mostly. He talks from the lectures of Prabhupada about very interesting points. And then there is other discussions. I'm usually the creative speaker, little Leela and this and that. And as we sit, but the main thing of the Govardhan retreat is to just sit before Giriraj and let Giriraj do everything else to our hearts. Giriraj. Okay. Any other ideal circumstances which you wish to bring from the treasure box? Ramapad Maharaj, I just wanted to turn to you.
Just a simple one. minimize distractions, especially we may not be Vaigiri Rush.
Yeah. Minimize distractions. Distractions. No distractions. Minimize distractions. Very, very, very good. Today I wanted to teach you three things I would like to start. We had the posture. I'm calling this the circle of concentration. Posture. It's really good if you can sit, because walking creates motion, and motion is activated by the mode of passion. Whilst when you are sitting like this, chanting, that's the mode of ignorance, tamagun. But if you sit straight, this is sattva, sattvic. So posture. Then we had pronunciation. Pronunciation. Oh, I'm such a... And then we had this traktaka, this concentration. All this was meant to concentrate our mind and bring focus in our lives. However, and these things I would request you to practice along with a list of things which might make your japa work. Place, time, association. This is the association thing. Please, you need to yes, Rukmini. Traktaka means... I'm sorry. Now we don't also know. It means fixing your external gaze and your internal vision and concentration on the mantra. Instead. My dear devotees, it is said that if you want to open a restaurant, there are three rules. Location. It is said, if you want to become a leader, there are three rules. Try. And it is said, if you want to become a spiritualist, there are three rules. Practice. You cannot have it without practice. It will not work. It's a wishful thinking which cannot happen. And I wanted to read you something about from Srila Prabhupada, which really is so wonderful. He said, practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasanan yagamina. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. For this we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles. And Prabhupada talks about himself. I cannot run even 1 mile. He has practice. Strength of the heart is increasing by practice. By practice, everything can be attained. Life is short, and it is so much disturbed. How true. So how is it possible to practice? Therefore, there is this one practice. Chanting Hare Krishna and hearing. That is very nice. And this is what we will do tomorrow. And praying to Krishna. please give me strength. Hari, O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen, I have no strength. Please accept me, that's all. I have no qualification, I'm frail, I'm trying, but I'm failing. All these appeals should be made, and Krishna is all-powerful. He can do everything. Wonderful, isn't it? This you will find in a morning walk on the 23rd of March, 1968. Hare Krishna. I really like this strengthening the heart by practice. Strengthening our devotional heart by practice. I want to give you a little tip. I'm observing you from the corner of my eyes. You are still in the settling mood, which is very nice. That means you will settle very nicely here. I really want to request you starting with tomorrow to enter more into the practice of chanting. My dear devotees, I cannot stress it enough. This retreat will only work for you if you yourself work on your individual japa. And there is no other way than sitting down and just taking the beeback, applying some of the practices which make sense to you, and then do the good work, the chanting of the holy name. There's no substitute, no replacement. It's you who will have to work. You will, if you have a heart which is not so strong, it's you who has to run and strengthen the heart by your practice. Huh? That's very important. But what I have seen so far, as you come by and take part in the workshops, I'm very, very, very satisfied with you. You not only have such a sincere interest and so much attention, ooh, very attentive audience you are, but I can see in your heart that some yearning is coming, some desire. And tomorrow, this is a little technical, and yes, tomorrow we will hear about chanting and in combination with prayer. We will hear some first-class prayers which will put our practice on a higher level, which give life, a little bit life to it. Now, I want to surprise you a little bit. When a disciple once told Srila Prabhupada that it is very, very difficult to control the restless mind during japa chanting, Srila Prabhupada gave a very surprising reply. And we want to play this reply to you. I really wish you to concentrate on what Srila Prabhupada will say. It's maybe the shortest excerpt which I'm aware of, but Prabhupada talks very strongly about mind control. And he will say, what is the use of controlling the mind? You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? It seems to put everything in question what we have just done in the morning. And we like to be challenged and moved by our kind spiritual master. We will hear him now and watch this, or pay attention to the sound of his voice. He's really it's intense. Let us hear. And please play loud enough, Gaura Hari. You know, here you find a Vaikuntha man. What is the question of the mind? When I heard it, I said, Prabhupada, this is at least my question and my issue. Prabhupada has said more about what is the question of the mind. It's in... this is not all he had to say on this subject. There is a place in the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada writes very convincingly, when you can give rapt attention and when you cannot give rapt attention. For a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, everything is very, very simple. He hears Krishna and his mind and all his emotion is with Krishna. For us, we are not yet attracted. Our attraction is not born. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has asked the question, who can be attracted to Krishna? And he has said, he who is in devotional service can be attracted to Krishna, and who is not covered. And he gave the example. Normally, the magnet attracts iron and iron fillings, but when the iron is covered with rust, doesn't work. So here, Prabhupada addresses the same thing. Please listen very carefully. It is very revealing. It's from a purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, text 44. I first read it in a publication called Among Friends. It's something which Satsvarup Maharaj was sending to, I do not know to who was the receiver, but I was on the list by Krishna's mercy, and this is a very revealing thing. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. Only the pure person will be able to give rapt attention. Then no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. If you have impossible actions throughout the day, actions which are separated from the service of God, actions which might even be a little shady and gloomy, then the mind is affected. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating. If you eat kami food and so on, then the mind will be negatively and influenced. So no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. I can imagine this quotation will be of high interest for our Bhagavatam scholar, His Holiness Romapad Maharaj. It tells us when and under which conditions we can really concentrate. So I'm always a little analytical in my life. I'm also spontaneous, but I'm going the other way around. Okay, this says I'm a sannyasi, but if I would be a grihastha, I must be careful with my with my sex impulse, with the mating, then with the fearing, defending. I should not defend myself when I'm criticized, you know. Maybe there's something right. In my sleeping, I should be pure, not too much, not too little. And in my eating, I should be pure. Then I'm pure in my action, and when my actions are pure, my mind is pure. And when my mind is pure, I will not experience troubles in the japa retreat of mind concentration. Or I will not experience troubles in my spiritual practice. Yes, Prabhupada said, what is the use of controlling the mind? You just have to chant and hear. What is the question of the mind? Well, the mind is impure. We have to purify it by proper action and so on. I feel this is very important and a little challenging for us. See, we and ISKCON are very, very expert we are very enthusiastic to apply yukta vairagya, things of this world, which we then give in Krishna's service. But I want to really alert you to the fact, if you don't know what is vairagya, detachment a little bit, then it's very difficult for you to practice yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya is on a much higher level than simple vairagya or detachment. See, in this age of Kali, for instance, wealth is a dangerous thing, because Kali sits on top of that wealth and might corrupt our mind. It is said about Yudhishthira Maharaj that he had wealth which even the demigods were envying. Why were they envying Yudhishthira Maharaj's wealth? They were richer in the heavenly planets, but they were envying him because it was all in the service of Krishna. The Pandavas had zero attachments to this. That's why another great personality, Bharata Maharaj, it was said he gave up his wealth like a person gives up the human pile which he creates in the bathroom. So the human pile is a smelly, but in addition to being smelly, the human pile or the excrement is dangerous, is toxic. If you keep it in the body for too long, all kinds of diseases develop from it. So when you, as a chanter, you need to be a little careful with this yukta vairagya principle. This is a thought which I want to throw out. I thought I would have only leaders in Krishna consciousness today in this, during this japa retreat, but I have a broad spectrum of devotees. So this, but I thought in addressing the leaders of our society, that this is a good thing to think about. We must be very careful when we handle with so much money, with following, and so on. It can easily corrupt the mind, and we can develop concepts like aham and mameti. This is the tenth offense in the chanting the holy name. And it is this attachment to aham mameti which creates all the distractions in our japa. Distractions come because the mind is full with attachments to the material energy. And then when it's time for us to sit down, these attachments will just pull us in the opposite direction from concentration. I have a little tip. I'm also using a car and in Krishna service and using, yes, I'm collecting for these huge debts in Germany, which you might have heard about, and so on. But I have seen in my life, when I'm very serious, must be careful with this ahamamedi. It's a bad energy which creates some things in the mind. I just wanted to say this. And now I want to come to the end. Yes, so just here. My dear devotees, I thought that the remainder of this workshop can be done in teaching you a simple just here exercise. I will move from this point now, distraction due to material attachments, to Prabhupada's wonderful advice. What is the use of controlling the mind? Just chant with your tongue and hear with your ear. I would very much like to introduce you to a practice which many devotees have adopted spontaneously without much background. They have found it was very useful. But I want to introduce you to this. Have you seen devotees when they want to concentrate to make this? This is all over the world. Devotees of the Lord will do this when that's too loud. But there is a better way to just hear. If you would like to do it, I can promise you it's very revealing. Please take your left hand to your left ear and just bring the ear a little bit forward and then speak into this part of the hand, and you will see that the sound gets into your ear. When you do this, there is a reverberation of the bones and the sound is a little difficult, but this is a very useful sound. And please do with me, just chant with me for like 10 mantras and just hear your own sound, because that's what Srila Prabhupada seems to say. You make the sound with the tongue and you hear it with the ear. And we will do this now because we really want to hear it. It's very, very important that as you do this, you try to really give utmost attention to the sound, and you will see it's very easy because the sound is just so very prominent. Do you understand the physicality of the thing? Just here and... Okay, please let us start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's a little easier to concentrate on the sound, yes? Yes? We will have a little bit more on just hear and chant, but I want to now strengthen your faith. My dear Prabhus and my dear Matajis, it is very important to understand that the sound of the holy name has so much ordering power. I want to say what I mean with ordering power. It is actually Bhagavad Sapta. We learned this in the... Not Bhagavad. It's Shabda, Bhagavad Sapta, it says like this. The sound which comes from Bhagavan, from the Lord, which goes into this world and then puts structure into matter. a little hint of what this means has been given by the Japanese scientist Dr. Emoto. Who has heard this name? Please raise your hand. Yes. Dr. Emoto wanted to find out the power of sound vibration, and he conducted a simple experiment. He had water exposed to different sounds. Then he took that water, which was, let us say, exposed to classical music, froze it to a degree -4. Then he made a chip from the ice and looked at this chip with a certain microscope and was amazed what he found. There are many, many very nice books about this, photo books, which can show you. I only know the difference. There was something about, there was a sound, I hate you, or a sound like, you make me sick, someone said on the water. I think that is often said in America. And this water had no order. It was totally, the molecules were totally chaotic. Then there was one mantra. I remember I saw the mantra Om Namah Shivaya, a glorification of Lord Shiva. And the water which was, so to say, exposed to that sound had beautiful crystal forms. Now, the reason why I tell this is, imagine you would join the Hare Krishna movement. That means the ones who concentrate on the divine sound of the mantra. Hare Krishna. And you would really hear the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra. You would hear it with full concentration. How much your body would change, and also how much your consciousness and mind would change. It's amazing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those who are chanters don't need to go to the doctor. He would not give them money in the ashram for the doctor. Because he held that we are chanting 64 rounds, we are chanting good rounds, we don't become sick. Because our mind is reverberated with the sound of so. Of course, there are these great devotees amongst us who take on karma, who take on managerial stress, and we should fall to the lotus feet. I'm just saying this not to make an analysis of ISKCON today and illnesses in which we can see. I'm making this analysis to alert you to the point that proper chanting has a lot of structuring potency or ordering potency, which will make your consciousness, like Prabhupada said, my devotees are bright-faced. They used to be very happy, unhappy. They used to be hippies. They used to be hippies, and now they're happies. He would say like this, or he would say, when they are shaved up and when they are in their garbs, they look like coming from Vaikuntha Loka. He would say like this. Yes. Angelic. Is that a word he used?
Somebody else.
Like angels, he said.
Like angels.
He said like this, yeah.
And somebody else was commenting.
Yeah.
Your people look like angelic.
It's the proper chanting. The reason why I'm saying it so much is, Prabhus and Matajis, we have not discovered our jewels yet. They're waiting for us. Amrita, you had something?
I was wondering if the study said how long the water was exposed to those sound vibrations.
I will turn to others who have seen the studies. How long?
Very,
very briefly.
Sometimes Maharaj, they even just have the word pasted
on the glass.
On the glass.
That's the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, I love you. That, yeah. That, that's our version.
And then very good crystal formations. Yeah.
And when they freeze it, the crystals would be very symmetrical.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other crystals where the water was exposed to negative energy, all very distorted.
Yeah, yeah. It is an interesting documentation, which, you know, when you, I believe it's also not some spooky science. It is accepted, isn't it? Or no? Oh no.
It's beginning.
Roma Padmaraj, what is your comment?
I don't want to rain on the parade, but modern scientists do not hold much value in his research, and they have their reasons how he did what he did and so forth.
Yeah.
But no, no harm.
So it is not, it's very, very important when we say these things, it is not, there's also contest, and it's important when we go to the university. At the same time, it's known, you know, modern scientists also don't think much of healthy diets and so on. They are, I mean, because it goes against the trend of.
So your question was, is this well accepted in these scientific
community? Yeah, yes. Yes, that was the question. That it's not. So when you use this in a university, it's very good to be complete and say, of course, there are also other scientists who contest this, and they have their reasons and so on. Mm-hmm. Good. So I'm thinking, I'm standing up to make my point that I really feel this concentration workshop should be something we should do. And it's really, I want to now follow Srila Prabhupada's statement, which we heard from the things. We should just learn to hear, to pronounce the mantra and then hear. And I would request all of us, I will watch the time, if we could please go into this exercise together for 10 minutes, where we will just individually chant and just hear. And the exercise is that we will just try to listen to the syllables of the syllables. Go in the speed which is comfortable for you. Maybe if you go too fast, you will lose your concentration. So then it's much better that you go a little softly. If you feel awkward to do this, I mean, you're here not in a photo contest. You can do it without, but I would recommend at least for the few mantras, do this so that you're, it's actually a trick of the mind, for the mind. You have never heard this type of sound, so the mind is always very interested in something new. So then the childish mind is with you, and then try to fly without this, because it's not that after the Java retreat all of you come back to the temple and go like this. Where did you learn this? In the Java retreat. Java, what did you learn? Did Prabhupada do this? So no. So it's just something which we do on our journey to improve japa. It's not that this is the number one practice. Yes, someone had a Savat Mapabu?
The same result is obtained without bending the ear. Just to put your hand above the ear canal and do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Nice. Yes, correct. Correct, Savatma. Thank you very much. Yes. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. So this is in improved version that you just go like this. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, Prabhuji, so work hard. It's your work. Please, maybe some of you will come to Dharana. Maybe some of you, Samadhi is not possible because it takes, Samadhi was 48 minutes or something, isn't it? 25 minutes. So we will only do 10. But you will be able to enter meditation if you give it your best. Huh?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
What was that? That was trying to combine what you have I lost my pen. Where is the pen? It was just there, but where is it now? I'm a little chaotic. Ah, yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Yagya Purusha. You have encouraged me. In this simple instruction of Srila Prabhupada, just here, you will find concentration, pronunciation, and posture is, that's an additional thing where he used to say, sit properly. I would like you to take this formula of 4 points with you. This is the result of our work today, what we have done so far. It's a simple formula which will help you to assess deeper levels of sound. What that exactly means, we will learn on, I believe it's Tuesday. Yes, not Tuesday or Wednesday. You will hear about this. There are different levels of sound. It's very scientific and it's very, very nice to hear it. But for now, I just want to say, these things can help you to go deeper. These are mechanical things. Tomorrow we will speak about non-mechanical help in chanting. But these are mechanical things which help when we are not on the highest level of Krishna Bhakti as we chant. They are not better and not worse than that. I would like to finish my presentation and then open the forum for some questions and then chant together with you. I would like to finish what I have to say today with that one part which we had in the morning. Does anyone remember what is the ideal form of japa? Whispering. We said just remembering or meditating, that comes in the smaranam category. That is the manasik chanting, whereas loud chanting comes, which is for the benefit of others, or is kirtan. But that chanting which is only for the benefit of the chanter, that is upangsu chanting. And that's what Mahaprabhu said. So this type of chanting requires really this. You have to really hear it, and you have to hear it with your ear and with your mind. then you can do upangsu chanting, that japa. And I would now request you to kindly make again an experience all together. There is a strength in doing it all together, where you chant the holy name in the upangsu style. I do not believe that there is a measurement in, do you call it decibel? Decibel? Yeah. That what exactly is upangsu? When does it come? It's a, Prabhupada explained it very simple. He said, so that you can hear it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You will also see this type of chanting puts you in the proper mind of chanting. Have you ever seen these devotees who do their level best to concentrate and they go like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They're trying to concentrate their mind, and we should pay our most respectful obeisances to them. But this is not how you will enter really into the secrets of chanting. It's rajasic. It is... Bhakti Charu Maharaj always tells me, he jokes about me, Germans are tense and nervous. That's what the predicate for Germans are. And he says, Sachinandan Swami, relax. And then he says, how long can I keep a hand like this? Not very long, then I will have a spasm. But if I leave it like this, relaxed, goes where, that's the power of the soft, the gentle power. I was talking with one nice devotee about this. So upangsu is really that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's a soft thing, it's where the softness of the heart can be easily awoken. We will learn this tomorrow, and I want to request you now to really try this. It will be new for you. We have come a long way today, but please try it. Maybe you want to use the telephone, the mobile phone or the fixed phone. It's actually a fixed phone. It's connected with the body. But please now try to softly chant. To inspire you again how to do this, I would very much request you to listen again to Prabhupada's very nice description of japa. Chanting a mantra or hymn softly and slowly is called japa. And chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtan. When japa is practiced, it is for the personal benefit of the chanter, but when kirtan is performed, it is for the benefit of all others who may hear. And then the Padma Purana says, it's a statement. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement. For any person who is chanting the holy name either softly or loudly, the paths to liberation and even heavenly happiness are at once open. You become happy by chanting this. And Rupa Goswami used to say, he wrote, Mantrasya sulagu uccharaha japaiti abhidhiyate. The very soft utterance of the mantra is called japa. So please let us try this now on our first day. Let us practice and make the experience how it is like, and let us then discuss it. This is very important for... please do take your seats. It's only 10 more minutes, then we may walk and stand and so on. But this is really, we are now trying really to summarize our day of practice, and we're trying now to enter into this japa, as it is told by Rupa Goswami. After all, we are Rupa Nugas, followers of Rupa Goswami and Nectar of Devotion. The summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is our law book, I heard, for 10,000 years or so. So it's important that you please do this now and give it your best attention. You will, we will have another 10 minutes. Is that a good time? Or should we give it 15 minutes? I think we should give it 15 minutes. Yes. So, start now, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Softly, not loudly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna,
thank you very, very much for, yes, applying this. I would like to conclude this wonderful day with a quotation about full attention. Today we had the concentration day, the day of full attention, because we had analyzed, or we had heard, that all the offenses which really block the experience of the Holy Name come from inattention. At the same time, although this is such a cardinal point, I want to make sure that no one of us gets paranoid. Oh my God, I'm really chanting inattentively. I can't always chant like this. I'm not in the frame of mind to do this. Is this all offensive? There are some very solacing words of Srila Prabhupada to this question. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj once asked him, I actually was phoning yesterday with Giriraj Maharaj, who will be leading the next retreat most properly. And yes, he once came with this doubt to Prabhupada. Is it of any value how I chant? He says, there are other things which we are instructed to do, which even though we try to do, we cannot do perfectly yet. Now Prabhupada wants to know, what are these other things which he had instructed and which Giriraj Maharaj cannot do at the moment. Prabhupada, how is that? You try to do and cannot do, how it is? So he wants to know. Giriraj answers, Giriraj Maharaj, like chanting attentively. Sometimes we try to, and he doesn't continue his sentence, but it's clear what he wants to say. Sometimes we try to chant attentively, but we fail. Now Prabhupada's answer. That is not fault. Suppose you are trying to do something, and due to your inexperience, you sometimes fail. That is not fault. You are trying. There is a verse in Bhagavad that a devotee is trying his best, but due to his incapability, he sometimes fails. So, Krishna excuses. It does not mean the devotee is faulty, but he must repent for that. Oh, I have done this. And should try to avoid as far as possible. Only those who are doing willingly something bad, that is not excused. On the strength of, because I'm chanting, I may commit all this nonsense, it will be nullified by my chanting. That is the greatest offense. So please, do not become paranoid. Sometimes, what to do? We live in Kali Yuga. The mind goes somewhere. But keep on trying. And also, be very honest with yourself. Humility means also honesty. Without honesty, there cannot be any humility. See that you are trying, but you are failing. But try again. And these simple things might help you, but they are not enough. These all, what we have learned today, come in the department of effort. Very important. But much, much more weighty or decisive in our advancement is the mercy of Krishna. Effort must be shown to show that you are not indifferent to receiving the mercy, but that the mercy will really move us. And about calling for mercy and prayer, and that we will hear tomorrow. For now, I suggest that I don't know, I'm split in two halves. Should we have questions and answers now, or should we just use the remaining 20 minutes to do moja practice? How do you feel? Ramapat Maharaj? Question and answers?
We didn't have this morning.
Yes, we didn't have this morning. Okay, I will try my best. Yes, Maharaj, please pose your question. Oh, would it be all right to start with one and then go to others and then come back to you?
Two questions and two comments.
You are Maharaj, you decide.
Two comments are quick. When you played this tape of Prabhupada speaking, what's the question of the mind?
Yeah.
My thought went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction about how to control the mind, giving two methods, by stick and by neglect.
Yeah.
So this was neglect. The mind is proposing something. Why are you paying attention to the mind? Neglect the mind. Bring your attention to.
Wonderful comment. I will note that down. Very, very wonderful. Thank you.
Second comment from Giriraj Maharaj. Maybe Sastra Kaur, if you remember this.
Mm-hmm.
From the Alston temple days. Giriraj Maharaj had at that time, I don't know if he still does, a habit of chanting quite loudly in the temple room, and devotees were complaining to him, so he wrote to Prabhupada and asked two questions. If I chant, the devotees say I'm chanting too loudly, what should I do? And then the other was, they say I'm chanting too swiftly, what should I do? And at least this is my recollection. Prabhupada's reply was, chanting loudly, not, I don't know the exact instruction, but the impression that I got was chanting loudly is good. It helps to capture the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Chanting swiftly also helps to capture the mind, but then Prabhupada added, not so stiffly, you cannot hear each syllable.
Mm-hmm.
So just a comment on Mahaprabhu said, Rupa Goswami said, and then Prabhupada gave this particular, he didn't say whisper, no Giriraj Maharaj, you should just whisper mm-hmm. so the others aren't disturbed. He said chanting
loudly captures the mind.
And, you know, when we're in a temple room and there's other people, we have to be socially aware. But mm-hmm. chanting, whispering the, that made me feel like I'm in an airplane again. Sitting with people around, I don't want to disturb them, and so I'm chanting and a whisper. It's very hard to concentrate, even if you do this one. People think, wow, what's that guy doing? I just commented.
Yeah.
So, an important question from the morning class. Those are just both comments. Question for the morning class. You made a point and then you doubted your own point and then you proposed to answer that point and I didn't get the answer. The answer is not clear. It seems like it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna in his name and Krishna in his form, the Krishna in his name is more merciful and Krishna will not appear. You're making a point.
If the heart is not pure, Krishna will not appear.
So then you said, well, now someone might say, my dear speaker, why you seem like you're contradicting yourself. Could you go over the question and the answer in succinct form?
Yes. Thank you very much. The holy name is compared with a touchstone, the Chintamani jewel, but the doubt is apparently this touchstone does not work. Why does it not work? The reason is that we are covered with offenses and therefore we cannot become influenced by the Chintamani nature, the Chaitanya nature of the holy name. However, so someone might say it does not work. The chanting of the holy name does not, Krishna doesn't appear. But this is not a right statement. Because by prolonged chanting, the holy name will remove all the obstacles and then Krishna does appear. And I quoted a verse from the Padma Purana that even though someone may be infested with offenses, if he continuously chants, then by the mercy of the holy name, everything will be removed. This is what I wanted to express, but yes, it was a little tangled. Maharaj, I was just becoming so enthusiastic, and then that the holy name is so merciful that I just got lost. I also felt that next time it will be better. I will just know, okay, here's okay. Let me be more straight in my argument. Mm-hmm. Because it's so important for me to speak about Upang, what is Upangsu Japa, I want to say there is a benefit of Kirtan which is definitely very, very strong. Sanatana Goswami speaks about this. This will be this very nice so that you know why we do Kirtan. Kirtan means the loud chanting, huh? I've written it down here. Krishna, when I hear your holy name, it seems I bind you with a thread, but then you slip out of the thread. You pull it. Then you are again caught by the ropes of remembering. In other words, the devotee hears Krishna's holy name, and now he also hears it with the mind. He remembers or he meditates. But then you escape from the rope of remembering also. Finally, you are captured by the iron chains of Sankirtan. So, when you do loud kirtan, it's like an iron chain which binds the Lord. When you just do hearing, it's like a thin thread. This is the statement which is given here. Yes, this is definitely true. And I know many instructions. That we had one Sannyasi Pancha Dravida Maharaj at that time who, at least when I saw him, he was extremely vital and dynamic, and he could not stand still for a moment. He was hyper in many ways. And I heard that he had difficulties in chanting, you know, when you have such a nature, how will you be? And then Prabhupada told him he should go on the field and just go like, Hare Krishna, really loud. And this is effect when the mind is so absolutely turbulent and restless, then we have to, then this may help. But once again, the japa, the definition of japa is that it is softly done. It's not because of social considerations that we do it softly, that we don't disturb. It's a different approach, a different reality. When you do softly your chanting, then if you are purified a little bit in the mind, then you will last longer in it and you will be more focused. However, if you are not purified, this is what I want to really say. When you feel that you are very unconcentrated, then please, and I'm very thankful for your comment, keep your regular, the process, how we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, and so on. It's very important what our Maharaj has said. I want to take this up and bring it one step further. I will teach you later, if we have time, some very advanced things in chanting the holy name. It's good that you know that there is some such a thing, that you can go unlimitedly deep, that there is it's a science, a university of the holy name is waiting for you if you are interested. It's really something very profound. But when it comes to practice, there's one rule. And one rule, you must always take that practice which corresponds to your present adhikar. Anything else is impious. That is, Krishna says, that is my opinion. If you do something, do a practice which is beyond what you can do, then it is impious. Jiva Goswami very much, he talks about this in relationship to hearing Krishna Katha. He says, if there is while you hear certain confidential lilas of the loving exchange between Radha and Krishna, and then he says, and your male organ is upset, then you must stop immediately. So this is an example, a very graphic example of how a very good practice, when you don't have the level of purity to go with this, and you take that very good practice, it is extremely dangerous for you. So here, this is not dangerous. I mean, these things. But if you feel you cannot concentrate when you do this upangsu japa, then do chant maybe between upamsu and vachik japa. This is also japa. Huh? Vachik means with the voice, this loud, which comes into the kirtan aspect. What works. And Srila Prabhupada gave his instructions on this. Obviously, I mean, it's to send a person out in the field that he must chant, that's not a standard Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu instruction. That's for someone who needs this medicine so that he can function in his spiritual life. And there are many instructions of Srila Prabhupada who are who show his deep insight in our level and in what we are. But I really think we should study the whole scope of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and then know some instructions are given to young incompetent persons who are on the level of advancement. And what do you expect? You know, we all came from that from hippie culture, and we still had remnants of undesirable substances in our bloodstreams, which would sometimes become released, and we would do our crazy things. So yes, Prabhupada had to tame the light, had to give something relevant for us. But as we go deeper, we should also be alert, I feel, to the other instructions which Srila Prabhupada has given, and not only take one type of instructions. But this harmonizing effect is really in this instruction of Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. You must take the practice for which you are suited, or let us say it in simple American English, what works for you. Good. Savat Mahaprabhu?
I have two very short questions. First, thank you for teaching this course. It's very helpful. At least I'm 11 seconds shorter of attending Dharma. you were saying about posture and about walking, and I haven't been able in all these years chanting my rounds to sit down and chant good rounds. Or it was actually a breakthrough not too long ago when I sat down and chanted 8 rounds. You know, mostly I just have to pace, and I cannot imagine myself pacing for 8 hours to chant 64 rounds. I've seen Prabhupada videos where Prabhupada is with the devotees on morning walks, and they are chanting. And I don't know if those were extra rounds, but is it possible to chant good rounds and they are not affected by the motor passion while walk? That's my first question. Should I ask you the second now or wait for the
I would appreciate to take this one question. There's also a very nice movie where Srila Prabhupada walks in his L.A. quarters and chants. And I remember there was this picture of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji in the background.
Also instructed Sri Tukirti like that. He said, so if you're tired, you can walk. I am doing that.
And Srila Prabhupada instructed Shruta Kirti Prabhu to say this: if you are tired, you can walk. I am doing that. Yes?
Can we hear a comment from Sanskrit Marsh on this? Was Prabhupada prone to only sit and chant? Or did he also, on occasion, pace and chant?
In my seeing this practice, I would see him walk and chant also.
Yeah, and this movie is there.
Thank you for asking that question.
It was very personal. My second question is,
I would like to respond to this. I must admit, it's important for the clarification of my position. I have spent a long time on working on japa, and yes, I do have also from my personality trait a certain inclination towards, you know, peaceful things, contemplative things in Krishna consciousness, maybe. So It is definitely, if it works for you, I mean, if you become tired, I also walk at that time. I even do some things to get the circulations going. I don't do this in public, but so that that it is, if it works and if it's necessary.
I could wake up from a coma, 12-year coma, and I don't start chanting, sitting up, or sleep. The other question was about silent chanting, which I read a long time ago, I can't remember where, about Sanatana Goswami being quoted saying that silent meditation, like totally silent in the mind, like of the Maha Mantra, is better than vocal one. And I want to give a snippet of my own experience. I had an operation not too long ago where there was a nerve removed from my vocal cords, and I had to silent for an entire week. So I had to actually chant silently. I could not say anything, and it was nearly impossible to chant. It took me forever. I could not concentrate. It was way more difficult. Do you know of this quote by Sanatana Goswami?
I definitely know of a quote where he says exactly the opposite. It's when there is a discussion between, it comes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the saint Pipalayana instructs Gop Kumar about silent meditation. It makes a strong case that in all activities of perception, it's really the mind who is perceiving. So therefore, the mind should, since it is the most important thing, you should meditate. But then, so this stands for a while in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but then Gop Kumar meets the Vishnu Dutas that comes after he has met Lord Shiva. And the Vishnu Dutas say that the chanting of the holy name is much superior to smaranam, or remembering the holy name, or the practice of smaranam, because very quickly the sound vibration arrests the restless mind. It's a little bit like the quotation which I just read, that loud chanting is like an iron chain, so to say, and the other which bind Krishna. It's in a loving way it is said like this. No one wants to put Krishna in iron chains, but it binds him to the devotees. So from the Brihad Bhagavat, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, a very, very strong conclusive case is made how the chanting of the holy name, the loud chanting, kirtan, sankirtan, is the superior practice, superior than smaranam. Sanatana Goswami, in his purports, you know, when he purports Pipalayana's instructions, he may repeat the instructions of Pipalayana, and it may look in that small time that Pipalayana argues very, very convincingly. It's a very beautiful argument. So he may repeat, and it may appear as if he supports Pipalayana. But as you read further, and as this argument is taken up again, you hear a resounding argument. It's very resounding how Sankirtan is superior than Smaranam. And I find this is very important because, yes, practitioners of Raganuga Bhakti, particularly the Babaji group, they focus on Smaranam as the main practice and offer different quotations. But really, this Sanatana Goswami statements is very, very convincing that Sankirtan is seen superior.
Mm-hmm. I want to add.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is such an important topic for Gaudiya Vaishnavas that Sanatana Goswami covers it again in about 45 verses, where Narada is speaking in Dwarka with Uddhava, Narada, mm-hmm. and Gopal Kumar. I mean, it's systematically refuting people and Rishi's arguments, whereas mm-hmm. the Vishuddhutas make a couple of statements, this very deeply philosophical,
yeah.
long purports.
Wonderful. It's really wonderful. It's such a cardinal point of Gaudiya Vaishnava. It gave joy to the heart, isn't it? We are on the right path. Yeah. Is superior to?
Evocative chanting. I mean, he just says it's more powerful when the mind is chanting, when you're chanting in the mind.
Mm-hmm. For such a statement, I would be able to say something, but for such a statement where we really go into details of philosophy, I believe it would be very nice to hear the direct statement and in which context it is made. But generally it is said, generally, outside Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it is said that first class chanting is done in the mind, manasik, second class is upangsu, and third class is loud. And the argument which is given for this is that the mind is the king of all the senses, and you may chant mindlessly out loud, and then you have not so much benefit of the practice. That's the usual understanding. But there is a commentary, an Anubhasya commentary, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says this does not refer to the chanting of the all blissful names of God, of the Lord. And if you understand that Sankirtan Yakya is the supreme practice in this age of Kali, then you also have a strong case for the loud utterings. In love and devotion. The idea is you chant loudly and it's an expression of your love and devotion. It's not a mechanic process at all. Mm-hmm. But in general, for such questions where we really, and this is very good for, this is the benefit of this retreat, where we really want to go into the detail, it's very necessary to have the exact quotation so that one can really go into the subtleties of the points. Mm-hmm. Is there any other question? Bada Hari Prabhu?
Mm-hmm. Said that Srila Prabhupada said that when you chant japa outside, if you chant loudly, then the trees benefit.
Yeah.
Chanting. And thus, because you're showing mercy to others, you, even if you're not such an expert chanter, some offense, you get special mercy by showing mercy.
By showing mercy. Yeah. There is this argument in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Haridas Thakur also says loud chanting is there, and he says, who is more glorious, the one who eats a meal for himself or the one who cooks a meal and distributes it to all others. That case he makes in the discussion with this Brahmana about loud chanting.
That's more like kirtan.
Yes, that's more like kirtan.
I'll just conclude this by saying I really, really appreciated your explanation of punks of chanting.
Yeah, I'm aware it is a new point, but again, thank you. You are, I have heard that you think very deeply about chanting and chanting more rounds and all this. So naturally, I would say we now know Upangsu chanting, and please know it's not a speculation. It's in the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. You can see that it is there. But Prabhupada has definitely said the other chanting, which is also japa. It's not that it is non-japa. The Vachik japa is good, and it seems to work better for us. And I'm also mostly doing what I personally do is I'm doing, this is my sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But once the chanting is steady and so on, then it is natural to go, then one also goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I've never made personally good experiences in Hare Krishna, because that tends to produce also a hissing sound, Hare Krishna, the whispering. But this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's something you have to come to grips to. But please let this not unsettle us. This Upangsu chanting, let us, because the other forms are also japa. It's japa. It's not that, it's just vachik japa. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I have a question about the holy name as Chintamani. The question is sort of based on this quote that I read from the Chaitanya Bhagavata, and I'll just read the quote. Everyone, please listen. Whoever once criticizes my devotee Murari will not be delivered by even millions of baths in the Ganga. I will destroy him through his baths in the Ganga and by his chanting of the holy name. So my question is, not to perpetrate inattentive chanting, but when we do that inattentive chanting while our minds are wandering, the mind actually, I mean, the holy name is actually, is it acting as a desire tree and actually fulfilling all of those wild thoughts rather than what we really want?
Is the chanting, when one has these wild thoughts, fulfilling the wild thoughts? Yes, this is the question.
As a desire tree.
Oh yeah. Rukmini Mataji, I know something about this in relationship to the Gopal mantra. This is which we chant in the Gayatri mantra. There it is stated in the Brahma Sanghita that it fulfills two motivations. One motivation, it makes the soul run after Krishna, this Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's word. In other words, gives you spiritual fulfillment. But if you have a material motivation, it also fulfills your material motivation, gives you, in other words, that material thing. That's a very, very interesting thing. And Brahma is the example. He wanted to create a universe, which is a material activity. I mean, of course he did it in service. It's not really, we can't really say it's a material activity. But and it empowered him, the mantra, to do this. So I always, when devotees ask me this, I give the example of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is the founder of the Apple computer, and he was a pot washer in the Boston Temple. Maharaj, were you the temple president? I read you were in Boston, isn't it? Yeah, but you were not the temple commander or temple president of Steve Jobs. So he apparently in a California university, he said it, and he also has written in his autobiography, I have heard, I have not read it, that he, and maybe he chanted with the wrong motivation. I mean, speculating now. And he therefore became a very wealthy man, so to say. Has any one of you heard that the chanting of the Maha Mantra, when it's done with the wrong motivation, fulfills material desires? I have heard this only in relationship to the Gopal Mantra. Has anyone heard?
Sometimes the example is given of watering the weeds. If you don't pull up.
Oh, yeah. There we have it. Badahari Prabhu gave the explanation. Yes. You water the weeds. And then the weeds, the wrong plants, become strong by the chanting. And not the Bhakti Lata beach. The Bhakti. Yeah. That's actually the. Yes, that's Swarup Maharaj.
Name, his form, his pastimes. So the Japa retreat, it seems to have been concentrated on hearing the name, just hear, and not expect to be seeing the form of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. I heard that last year the GPC, when it came over on their reports of what they discussed each day, they discussed this, and Ramapad can vouch for this. In fact, I remember Shiva Ram Swami.
Yes.
He became quite excited and enthusiastic about it, that it was possible for them, and that at the right time it could come, etc. But apparently, it comes according to one's adhikar, as you said.
I wish to come to this point, and there are several very, very wonderful quotations of Srila Prabhupada. I'm just trying to find. Oh, I'm so disorganized. Please excuse me. It's somewhere, but if I start now to look for it, you will all become bored with me. I personally believe. So, it will come. It is in store. We will come. We start. Today is the entry day, and we do these, yes, practices, and we learn these practices, which are somewhat mechanical, really. My personal experience is that let me say it a little bit differently. Srila Prabhupada has promised that this will come. And he has, in this way, whetted our appetite. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes in his lectures, he brings the very high subjects within our grasp. He will say things like, you can dance with Krishna, you can eat with Krishna, and so on. In the 8th canto there is, and then again there will be Vrindavan, and he will say this. And I believe by his mercy and by his strength, it is possible for devotees under his shelter to get a glimpse into this. By the power of a great devotee, very wonderful things are immediately possible by being under the shelter of a great devotee. This is very important in our spiritual theology or philosophy, that in this age of Kali, for instance, we are under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can be under the shelter. We can take shelter. We can take shelter under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there are many statements that even unqualified people can come to very quickly to very high realizations. There is this very, very wonderful book which I want to recommend everyone. It's the Chaitanya Chandramrita. There is his conversion, the very nice version is out, where it really says how the path of pure bhakti was beset with thorns, but since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, the path is cleared and everyone can experience it. There are statements like, my heart is a desert where the Bhakti Lata beach cannot take root, but by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is possible. So, by taking shelter, it really very difficult things become possible by the mercy of the personalities where we take shelter. And in this way, something like a quicker way is possible. Just consider in other ages, Narada Muni wanted to preach to Ratnaka, that is a bandit, to do something good for his life, but he couldn't introduce him to the chanting of the name immediately, so he said, chant Mara 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 Mara, and then he was with Rama after some time. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, he doesn't tell us to chant Mara or something. He immediately has ordered and empowered the living entities to chant the holy name, and he has given a very particular compensation in it if one take shelter under his lotus feet. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a statement in the 8th chapter that you can chant the holy name for millions of lives, bahu janma, bahu, many, many births, but as long as one is covered with offenses, one will not get Krishna prema or love of Krishna. However, if one chants the names of Nityananda and of Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga, then it is very easily possible. There is a very nice purport about this. It comes in the Adi Lila 8th chapter, text 31. That's maybe the only verse number. I'm very bad with numbers, but that number I have committed to memory. It's a very convincing case that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's possible, things are possible. So I personally have this faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his dear servant, Srila Prabhupada, that if one is connected with them, that very high realizations do become possible quite soon. It's just a question of the connection. That is something we have to work on. I believe that it's not so easy to be connected. I mean, you have to, you can't just say, I'm a Chaitanya Bhakta. For me, Satsvarup Maharaj, it took many, many years to understand how, I mean, I still don't understand, but to appreciate at least a little bit how important Mahaprabhu is. And I believe in my discipleship to Srila Prabhupada, since you asked for an autobiographic answer, I'm still on the way of trying to be a good a disciple and so on. But I know, and I have this faith, that if one is connected, amazing things happen. Not by our own strengths. On that level, we are not nothing will come, but by the mercy it will come. And I, now you have asked for experiences, but experiences cannot be shared in a public meeting. And matters of spiritual experience, when you bring a flame out, you may become proud, the persons may misunderstand you, and it will become extinct. So even if I would have experiences, I couldn't talk about it in a public meeting. But I don't have any experiences. So therefore I also cannot talk about them.
Question is
insolently put. I would have to take my computer, my dictionary computer, insolent. No, insolent, yes, I know. No, you have spoken a very high English word. Yes, I understand what insolent is. No, it is. You cannot ask any. Your questions are, I mean, you are what you are, wonderful Vaishnava. There is no way. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All right. Any other question is there? It's nice that so many questions are... Oh, we have gone over time. Maharaj, this will be the last point or question. Yeah. A comment?
In essence, questions, it's a detailed question. Mm-hmm. But because no one else put their hand up. When you were telling the generic story of the yogi and his student and the power of the mantra, the heron that died,
yeah,
the cat that died,
yeah,
the son of the king that died, you paused when the calf died before the son was born.
Yeah,
you said it was a month, maybe it was a month and a week.
I'm a storyteller who wants to capture the attention. I didn't read if it was a month or a week. Well, I speculated that it...
My question, yeah. It didn't occur to me until you paused like that, but just the gestation period of a calf, the gestation period of a pregnant queen...
No. Yeah, it didn't make it. I would have to take longer time. Yeah, it takes 9 months, really. Yeah, 9 months or 10 months. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was a mistake in storytelling. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, how does it work? Yes, it was a mistake in storytelling. Yeah, this story is also. It's not a very Shastric story. I just wanted to wake up my audience and so show them that there's a subtle effect. There was, but yes, next time I will. Please, Maharaj, I have heard that you have a very, very sharp brain. Whenever you notice something, please tell me for my benefit. Because I'm a little hazy. Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
As a dramatist,
yes, dramatist.
I would say
I give you dramatic license.
Yeah, but I should know that a queen takes 9 months, you know. To, yes.
The audience is not a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
With audience,
of course. Yes. Now I. Yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you could please discuss about this in your own time. I want to. There are always ways around things, but yes. We are over time, and I'm very concerned as your facilitator that this will not become a strain, but it will be a very nice thing. I thank you very, very much for your very nice participation, and I have also learned it's very, very nice if we can discuss more, discuss like this. It makes a very good atmosphere, and it's very necessary. For the continuation of the program, there is now a pause. I would suggest, because we are a little late, the pause is up to 7:30, now it's 6:30. Is it all right with you? 7:30, we meet here sharp. There is some dinner, I understand. Some dinner prasadam is available. So we have 1 hour now. And the evening program is like this. We will sing. And I want to read to you, if it is all right, in a dramatic reading style, a little bit more about Haridas Thakur. Now, those of you who, it's nice to spend the evening together in chanting together and hearing about great devotees. But if you are tired, if you are desirous that, oh, so much japa retreat, but I have not yet finished the rounds which I wanted to finish, you can stay away from the evening program today. It's not an evening program where it is, there are no musts, but where it is highly, highly, highly recommended to be there. It is something where we end the day, which was quite many informations, and quite a lot of concentration, where we ended in a nice way so that we will go happy to bed and will dream nicely of Krishna and then get up and then be ready for tomorrow. I would like to recommend you to seriously contemplate this one suggestion of mine, that as the days continue, please increase your practice of chanting. It's really, you will get much, much, much more out of the retreat if you do that. Tomorrow we will have one day where it is very just prayers and so on, a little bit more the mercy aspect of the holy name we will focus on. But then the day after tomorrow, if it is all right with you, I want to bring you to a day of chanting 64 rounds. It will be easy. I will prepare you a little bit. But it's nice if you mentally prepare yourself. 64 rounds is nothing. You will not even see it. As something you will feel, now it's already finished, let me continue. It's good if you try, but again, if during the time you feel some dryness, or you feel this is a dose which is too strong, I'm lucky if I can chant 16 concentrated rounds a day, then you are obviously you can spend the can read or make some pause, walk, and then chant. I really don't want that you become number conscious. It's Krishna consciousness, our movement. Mm-hmm. So But I just want to say, please prepare yourself a little bit to now slowly increase a little bit your practice. That will be very advantageous so that you can go prepared into the day after tomorrow. But if the group feels, oh, let us better have a discussion day on the 64 rounds day, then I'm willing to do this. You can think about it tomorrow, and tomorrow evening we come to a conclusion of what we want to do. Good. So I wish you a very nice pause now. We have 6:30, and we will meet at 7:30 those who come for the evening program. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. Divyambara, would you be so kind to come? I feel we need to practice this one time with this instrument. Maybe you could come in half an hour after, and then we can practice.
Should I serve you some now?
No. Take later.
No, after the.
We will not go to bed late. Please allow me to get.